Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
Are those sports parents who coach their kids from the sidelines helping or hurting their young athletes? To talk about this issue today on Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, I'm here with George Klein, a Positive Coaching Alliance coach in Portland, Oregon, and president of Putnam Youth Basketball League. I'm Lisa Cohn, and I'm here also with my brother, sports psychology expert Dr. Patrick Cohn.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
George, could you begin by telling me a little bit about what age group and skill level you coach in basketball?
Currently involved with sixth grade boys here, but as president of the league, I oversee kids from grade 1 up through grade 12 in our program. So I see a lot of kids at different ages and coaches and interaction with parents at different ages. But my son's sixth grade, and that's kind of where I focus my attention at the moment.
Now, don't you also have a second grade girl?
I run a second grade program, but I don't currently have a child in that program.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought you did. Okay. Now, it sounds like you see a lot of parents who like to coach from the sidelines. Can you describe them?
Well, I think they kind of fall into the class of a parent who really is looking out for their child, but they try to perfect them on the court with their words. And, you know, the sports playground is a place where kids are supposed to be allowed to make mistakes, but I think some parents don't see it that way. They want their child perfected. They want it done now, and they're out there talking to their child and giving them instruction on all their mistakes and how they can do it better, and I think the kids just ultimately get confused.
So they're really focused on mistakes then. That's interesting. That's what you find.
That's what I find.
Well, I want Patrick to interject here a little bit about mistakes and correcting kids and what that means from a sports psychology perspective.
Well, Lisa, as you know, we've talked quite a bit. If parents harp on mistakes or pick up on mistakes and are constantly trying to correct mistakes, which a kid already knows that he made or she made, then most likely that can turn into a fear of failure at some level, because then they go perform more tentatively and scared about making more mistakes because they don't want to disappoint a parent or disappoint a coach. Pretty simple.
Now, George, what do you see? Do you pretty much see this as a bad cycle?
Well, yeah. I mean, when you think about the coach who's put in the hours at practice with those kids and then comes to a game and has a certain game plan for the game, and the coach is aware that, you know, he's teaching the kids through their mistakes, and then the parents, you know, when they jump in, you know, I see a kid, you know, maybe turn over the ball, and the parents on them, you shouldn't dribble this way, you shouldn't dribble that way, you shouldn't do this, or you shouldn't do that, and the kid looks up in the stands and is just completely confused because the coach over there, who's a great coach, is telling the kid and giving encouragement to the kid about what not to do next time, and then he looks at his parent, who's giving usually completely opposite information. The kid is just sitting there on the court thinking, who do I believe in this case? Do I want to react to my parent or to the coach? And I think for the kid, as Patrick said, it's just a fear of being on the court and doing well.
Now, do you have any kind of talks with these parents?
Well, as someone who is a president in the league, and I try to, but quite frankly, that's a difficult conversation, especially when it, you know, if it's a parent that's just talking to referees, you know, that's one thing. But when it's their own kid involved, that's a very difficult conversation to have with a parent on how to coach their own child. And, you know, although I'm not opposed to going up to a parent and saying you're out of line in this, but that is a very difficult situation to be in, even as a leader of an organization.
Now, do you ever consider giving little talks before the season starts, like, this is what I'd like from the parents, and this is how you can best benefit your children?
Well, as a league that partners with the Positive Coaching Alliance, we do a pregame, a preseason talk to the parents. Of course, we can't, and this is the toughest thing to do, is get all the parents of all your players into a building prior to the season. You know, when you have 450 kids in your program, you just can't get them all in. But that's one of the things we talk about. It's right there in the positive coaching philosophy. As parents, we will not coach from the sidelines because it's detrimental to our child's development or even basketball development. But I don't think parents hear that message, but it's something that we have to do a better job of. And I know coaches try to do that, but that also puts them in an awkward position up front of telling parents how to behave on the sidelines. So as a league, we try to do it, but it's a difficult thing.
Well, now, here at the Ultimate Sports Parents, that's one of the things we tell parents. We give them checklists. And one thing that we really stress is that they shouldn't coach from the sidelines and they should respect the coach and let the coach do the coaching. Patrick, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, and not overcoach as well. We talk quite a bit about not overcoaching your child before competition because, number one, it might conflict with the coach. And number two, you don't want them in a real technique or a mechanical mindset. That makes it hard to go out and have fun and play freely. But I want to pick on something that George had said about, I know the Positive Coaching Alliance has some handouts and some things that they give to parents and coaches. And there's the PAES Code of Ethics or Parents Code of Ethics. I think it would be a great idea to set the expectations for parents prior to the season by maybe just giving them a handout similar to what PAES does on the Parents Code of Ethics to set the expectations about their behaviors. I know when I started taking my 9-year-old daughter to tennis tournaments, there was nothing for parents. I had no clue on what I was supposed to do. Just a simple handout saying, am I allowed to talk to my child between points? Am I allowed to talk to my child between sets? How should parents interact with their child? What should they do if there's a disagreement on the court? I was clueless, and I had mentioned that to one of the USTA officials. I said it would be great if parents had something, newbies like myself had something to go by, and I found out later that you can't say a word. You can't say a word during the matches, and I didn't know that until another parent told me that.
Yeah.
So setting the expectations, just maybe a simple handout at the beginning of the season would help tremendously.
Well, it sounds like these parents get the handout, but maybe they don't read it, George. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, you know, and I think that most parents get it, but I've been reading lately that, you know, in a few years ago, maybe it was 5% of the parents that were not behaving correctly on the sideline, but I think in recent studies now we're up to maybe in the 15% range. So there's about 15% of parents out there that do this, and I would agree with that statistic. And so that's 85% of parents, far majority get it, but there's
right.
ones that don't. And it not only affects their own child, but it affects the other children on the court as well. I know it affects my child to have a parent of another child barking out instructions. You know, because they're not always generally directed at their player. They're directed towards the team, and it's detrimental to the team and other players and parents who get it. It makes it a very negative experience to be at a youth sports event and have parents barking out instructions, whether it's your own kid or even someone else's child.
Right. And even these parents who are barking, they're generally pretty well-meaning. They're just very excited.
That's true.
We had this experience, Patrick and I, when we were growing up. We had 5 kids, and we all played sports, and our dad was very involved in our sports, and he did all the things that you're not supposed to do. But he really, you know, he just loved to watch us. He'd love to watch us play.
Yeah.
Now, let's be real clear about what you'd prefer to see parents doing on the sidelines.
Well, I would like parents to encourage, if they're going to talk to their own child, words of encouragement. Words of encouragement to the team, good job, good play, and then, you know, more importantly, to members of the opposing team, you know, good play, nice shot, those types of things. You know, we don't have to script everything that parents need to say, but I think that parents need to be in the mindset that they're going to be encouraging on the sidelines and not look for mistakes. You know, mistakes we can deal with after the game, but in the game, let the kids play the game and let the coaches coach and let the parents be the encouragement for their players.
Now, we also tell parents to wait to give their kids any kind of feedback. We really would prefer not to see them give them constructive or negative criticism right after a game. And I don't know if you have an opinion about that, George.
Well, I think that that is good advice. And I would think I think the best thing you can do as a parent is after the game, let your child direct the conversation. I think if you come into it, you know, talking about asking them what they thought about a particular player or why did they do this or why did they do that, I think that's the wrong way to approach it. But I think the child needs some time to wind down after a game. And I think the best way to do it is, hey son or hey daughter, did you enjoy your time out there? And tell me about it. And just leave it open-ended and let them bring about the discussion. And then if you want to deal with mistakes, I agree, wait a day. Wait till the next opportunity, but not that night after a game.
Now, do you have any idea about how to phrase constructive criticism? One of the things that we discussed in our emails was that kids are more likely to take constructive criticism from coaches than from parents.
I've been versed in the criticism sandwich, and that's something also that Positive Coaching Alliance, in a workshop you'll hear about. You know, giving the kids something positive about what they've done and then working on what the negative thing is or the correction is, and then following up with something positive. You know, maybe a specific example, maybe a kid has just committed a turnover because they were dribbling out of control. And you might reference with that, hey, great hustle on that play. Next time, let's be under control, and we'll get a, you know, we'll turn it into a layup at the other end. So you've told them they need to be under more control, but you've also said, you know, give them two positive things that keeps it in a positive light.
Patrick, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think that's great. In terms of parents, you know, I think the best option for parents is, as we talk about, is kind of leave the coaching to the coaches. But sometimes parents really, you know, want to get involved and, you know, and take pride in getting involved with their child's, sports. And it's really hard, especially for parents that are coaches and parents or have played athletics or are currently coaching. That's probably the toughest, is to be able to find the resources for your child to get the coaching if you feel like that they're not getting that coaching. You know, rather than take an active role of say, you know, I'm going to coach my child as well in addition to the other coach. Is that where you were going, Lisa, with the...
Yeah. Well, yeah, and it makes more sense maybe to find a different coach is what you're suggesting.
Well, additional resources. I mean, you can find, you know, people that'll do functional training, you know, in terms of, you know, physical development, the mental training aspect. I do the mental training, and a lot of parents, they contact me to do some of the mental training with their children because the kids won't listen to the parent, but they'll listen to an expert, a so-called expert in this in the area. You
mm-hmm.
know, so bringing in people, you know, if you have those resources, bringing in people to supplement what the coach is doing would be probably a better option.
Right. Well, let me summarize here. So to stand by on the sidelines and especially to criticize your kid is just going to make them fear making mistakes, and we know that that leads into a negative cycle of kids not wanting to take risks and not playing as well as they could. And it also affects the other kids on the team. So it makes more sense to be positive and to give criticism in a very special way that George described, and maybe find other coaches. If you feel like you're not super happy with your coach, either find a new coach or find other resources, but try not to be the coach. One quick last question for George. Do you get conflicted about being a coach and a parent?
Yeah, that's, you know, just to follow up on Patrick's last statement there about seeking advice from the coach or seeking the kids seeking the feedback from the coach. I find with my own child, you know, if I try to give him coaching as a parent, if I try to coach him, he's a little bit more turned off with me doing it because I'm also his dad. But if the assistant coach or another parent on the team in the practice setting coaches him specifically in a drill, he's much more open to that than me doing it as his parent. I think kids don't quite see the difference between parent and coach, and sometimes as coaches we don't do a good job of communicating to our kids, you know, when we're the parent, when we're the kid, or when we're the coach, and I think they're more open to someone else teaching them and instructing them in specific skills.
That's interesting. Well, George, I look forward to interviewing you again sometime soon, and thank you for taking the time.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Be sure to visit youthsportspsychology.com to get our new workbook CD program, The Ultimate Sports Parent. You can also pick up our free ebook, 10 Tips to Improve Confidence and Success in Young Athletes. That's youthsportspsychology.com.